Howard Dean's bid for the Democratic presidential nomination picked up a double-barreled boost today when two of the nation's largest and most influential unions announced they are endorsing his campaign. The twin endorsements helped solidify Dean's status as the Democratic frontrunner, but the degree of union clout in the upcoming election is still unclear because several key unions have yet to back a candidate. William Mayer is a professor of political science at Northeastern University, and he joins us now. Professor Mayer, the Service Employees International Union has about 1.6 million members. AFSCME, or the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, has about 1.4 million members. How significant is this for Howard Dean?
Well, I think it clearly is a major boost to his candidacy. I think if you look at the record of about the last 20 to 25 years, labor is an important ally. It isn't by any means the make or break factor about who wins the nomination, but it takes on greater importance the more concentrated that support is. So I think up till now, the vast majority of unions have been endorsing Congressman Gephardt from Missouri, and in that sense, I think it's very helpful to Dean to have a few high-profile unions on his side so that Gephardt doesn't get the label of the union candidate, and Dean doesn't get, in some sense or another, a label as a candidate who's somehow doesn't have good relations with labor.
How much are these endorsements really worth, and where does the union's perceived muscle come from? Is it in fundraising, turnout, or building grassroots support?
It's probably in all of those. How much is it worth? Well, something, but not everything. If you want to think of two extremes, there have been two candidates in recent nomination politics, Walter Mondale in 1984 and Al Gore in 2000, who had such strong support among unions that they were not only endorsed by lots of individual unions, but received the endorsement of the AFL-CIO Executive Council. And if you look at the exit polls across all of the contested primaries in those states, you'll find that both Mondale and Gore ran about 10 percentage points better among union members than among non-union members. And they probably, having union support also probably helped, it definitely helps on the fundraising, and unions also are one of the few large mass membership groups on the left in America. And therefore, when you get a union endorsement, you often get the kind of troops who will help you run a phone bank and then do voter registration and then particularly important in primaries, do a get-out-the-vote drive.
Unions have traditionally aligned behind the Democratic Party in the general election, and they have traditionally voiced the concerns of middle and lower-income employees. What do they stand for now, and who do they represent?
Well, it is fair to say that as the economy has changed, the people who are represented by unions have in some important ways changed. Industrial unionism has either held steady or in most cases declined, and a lot of the union members are actually now in white-collar occupations. Teachers' unions are very, very important in the Democratic Party. Other important unions are those that represent government employees, which again, some blue-collar, but predominantly white-collar.
We've talked almost exclusively about Democrats. What role do unions play in Republican politics?
Frankly, not much of one.
Thanks so much, Professor.
My pleasure.
William Mayer is a professor of political science at Northeastern University, and he edits a series on the presidential nomination process called The Making of the Presidential Candidates, 2004.